bring your neighbors and friends, to invite them to come, because we've got something worth sharing with them. And I want this morning to do what I don't normally do. I want to preach on one of the phases of the Apostles' Creed. Now, I'm not going to ask you to repeat the Apostles' Creed with me, but all of us know it, and may I say this very simply, that those that gather in this chapel believe every word of it. But the phrase I'd like to share with you is that portion which says, I believe, not I believe in God the Father, we believe then that. Creator of heaven and earth, we believe in that. But I want to take that simple phrase as we commence this series of gospel services. I believe in the forgiveness of sins. Now, could I repeat that? I believe in the forgiveness of sins. And that's why we're having these special gospel services. But of course, I'm not going to preach on that phrase of the Apostles' Creed. I would ask you to turn with me, please, into the Acts of the Apostles and into chapter 13, if you have your Bibles. But you may have your Bible and would much rather I just read the scripture. But I'm going to read from the 13th chapter of Acts, if I may, please. And we'll commence reading in verse 26. Men and brethren. Oh, by the way, I'm sorry. I've got something I've got to switch on here. What have I got to do with this young man? Is that right? Doesn't sound any different. Heareth God. To you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre. But God raised him from the dead, and he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, fair children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second psalm, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep, and was laid unto his fathers, and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things, from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Now the Lord will add his blessing, I'm sure, to the reading of his word. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. I say, what a glorious message. No wonder it's referred to as glad tidings. And it is glad tidings. I am certain that all of you who love your Bibles will immediately think about the verses that have in them this phrase, this man, this man. You have no doubt in your thoughts turned again to the 15th of Luke. And those opening words of that chapter, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. I say, isn't that a glorious message? This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Do you know that all sorts of folk receive sinners? You do something wrong and the policeman will receive sinners. Let it be bad enough and the judge will receive sinners. And the jailer received sinners. And there was a time when the hangman received sinners. But this man received sinners and eateth with them. Oh, what a difference. Those lovely words in the 14th of Luke, I'm sure, come to your mind. Do you remember the story that Jesus told of a feast that was given? And the door was quietly opened, and there stepped into that banqueting hall a man. And there, just inside the door, he found a seat and he sat down. And then another came in. And as he came in, he never sat in the back seat. He marched to the front for everyone to see him. And spreading his garments, he sat down. But when the giver of the feast came in, he looked around. And pointing to the man in the front who thought so much of himself, and then pointing to the man in the back who'd just come in, he said to the man in the front, give this man place. Oh, how many times have I preached the gospel on that text? Give this man place. This one who humbled himself and came where we were. This man. Oh, friends. If there's a need today, it's for men and women to give this man his rightful place. And how often have you turned to the epistle to the Hebrews? And you've looked beyond this scene, and you've sought to gaze into glory, and suddenly the majestic words come. But this man, when he had made one offering for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of God. This man. I want to say three things about my text, if I may. I want to remind you that here's a text that tells us of God's wonderful man. This man. Here's a text that tells us of God's wonderful message is preached unto you. You know what I'm going to say now, don't you? Here's a text that tells us not only of God's wonderful man and God's wonderful message, but here's a text that tells us of God's wonderful mercy is preached unto you. The forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sins. God's wonderful man. Away in England, I spend quite a lot of my time in the county of Cornwall. We went down some years ago and we've seen a number of assemblies started there and I've had a great interest there. But when first I went down to Cornwall, I didn't really know anyone. We went down to a little town called Helston and hired a hall, and I started preaching the gospel. Before I went, I thought, I know what I'm going to do, because Cornwall today is a very strong Methodist county. And so I opened Wesley's Journal, And I read of the occasion when first years ago he went down into Cornwall. As he entered into the first town in the county of Cornwall, why, he wrote a lovely hymn that we love to sing. He wrote, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise." He was going into a county then that was so black, so dark, so cut off in his day from the rest of our land. There he longed that men and women should sing the praise of the Lord, and he wrote, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing." When he came out, he had more than a thousand tongues to sing. But when he went to Helston in his journal, he wrote this. He took his pen and he wrote, "I offered Christ to the people." I see his mad love. "I offered Christ to the people." Friend, that's what I've come to do here. This man, God's wonderful man, I'm here to offer Christ to the people. As I think of this wonderful man, I confess, I know not where to start or where to stop. But though I might keep within my time, would you permit me to say a word, first of all, about the lowliness of his birth, this man? Would you permit me to say a word about the loveliness of his life, this man? Would you permit me to say a word about the loneliness of his death, this man? And I've come to read those verses in the 13th of Acts without asking you to listen as I tell you a little of this man and the loveliness of his resurrection. The lowliness of his birth, this man. The God should come and dwell amongst us. Wonder of wonders. But that he should wend his way to Bethlehem's barn, the God of creation, to be born in a stable and laid in a manger. And yet the wonder of it all. Every Christmas in our assembly at home, on Christmas Day, we have, I expect, one of the largest services we have in the year. The chapel will be full. And every year, I have the responsibility of speaking on the Christmas message. And you know, I've really reached the stage when I wish they'd ask someone else. Because for many years I've had to preach, as it were, the same message on that day. But as we approach it from so many different ways, I know this, that this Christmas, if the Lord will say this, for I've said it many years. I'm just waiting for one of the brethren to come and say, "Stan, you said that last year." And I'll look at them and say, "Yes, and I said it the year before, and I'll say it next year as well." For one of the thrills of Christmas to me is this, that the God of heaven was born of the babe. Have you ever been frightened of a babe? You might be frightened of the way you handle it. When occasionally I'm in a service and they ask me to render thanks to God for a life that's been spared and a life that's been given. And they bring a little one up and I take that little one in my hands and I look at it. Oh, I'm always frightened I'm going to drop it. But you know, I look at that babe, I've been frightened of the way I'll handle it. But I've never been frightened of a babe, have you? When God came into this world, he came with this message. Fear not! We bring you glad tidings of great joy, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. But listen, it isn't that God speaks, that God acts. There is that babe in a lowly place in a stable. He moved amongst men. Oh, the lowliness of his birth. Friend, there's no need for men and women to fear God. is the God who in salvation says to men and women, I came that you might fear not. But when I think of the lowliness of his birth, I think of the loveliness of his life. May I ask you a question? Can you think of anyone else in the world who can compare to Jesus Christ? Now think it through, please. Give me a list of men and women who you admire and you feel have left their mark in the history of the world. And write over them all the name of Jesus Christ. The only one who ever moved in this sea, never out of step with heaven. The only one who never had to retrace a step, never had to apologize for a word said or deed done. One who moved amongst men and women, and the scripture says, he knew no sin. And he did no sin. And in him was found no sin at all. Oh, friend, when I think of the loveliness of his life, that he went about as our example, the tragedy is that example shows us how far short of that glory we come. Please, if you forget everything else I say this morning, will you please remember this? A man is, a woman is, what they are before God and nothing else. You are not what you are before me. I don't know you. I am not what I am before you. You don't know me. I am what I am before God. And I stand in the light of that lovely light. And I have to say, this is God's standard. And I sinned and come short of the glory of God. Ah, but if I think of the lowliness, the loveliness of his life, and the lowliness of his birth, I think of the loneliness of his death. It was Peter who took his pen and wrote. That fiery man. That man we all admire, for we all feel we're a little bit like him. It was Peter who took his pen and wrote to his own self. Bear our sins in his own body to the tree. To his own self? Have you ever done what I've done? Have you ever sat with your Bible in your hand and said, where are they? Where are they? Those men and women that were influenced by that lovely light. That leper who was cleansed. Surely he'll stand up and say, but this is the man that healed me. But he wasn't there. I say, surely that man who couldn't walk, who was given strength in his ankle bones, will leap forward and say, look, I couldn't do this before, but this man healed me. Where are they? Where was Lazarus? He laid in a grave until his body stank. Surely he'll stand up and say, crucify him! Look what he did to me! But they weren't there. Tell me, where were those disciples? There's only one of them there. The youngest of them, he's the only one there. The rest have gone into the upper room, bolting and barring the doors for fear of the Jews. Where were they? I can understand Peter saying, to his own self. Do you want to know what loneliness is? Is there someone here today who feels sometimes so lonely, so isolated? Well, I'll tell you, there's only one who knew the deep loneliness that no man can fathom. And he went to Calvary's cross bearing our sin. Listen, my friend, I'm not afraid to say this to you. I'm not ashamed to say it to you. That I love the Lord Jesus. When I think of what he's done. For me, the guilty one. Who his own self. Bear my sin. In his own body to the tree. This man in the lowliness of his birth, in the loveliness of his life, in the loneliness of his death, in the loftiness of his exaltation. What was it we read? When they found no cause of death in him, that's his life. Why? Pilate commanded him to be slain. That's his death. But listen, let me read it again. But God, verse 30, but God raised him from the dead. I'm glad I've got a living Savior. I'm glad there's one who cares. I often say they took my Lord down from that cross. And they laid him in a tomb. And they rolled a stone in front of it. And they set a seal on it. And they stood a soldier by it. That no stone or seal soldier could keep him in the tomb. Up from the grave he arose. With a mighty triumph for his foe. He arose a victor of the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints remain. Oh, friend, you need that forgiveness. For you come short of the glory of God with all things. But God has provided in this man, God's wonderful man, this salvation. But if there's God's wonderful man, there's God's wonderful message, that through this man is preached. God doesn't intend that men and women shall be ignorant about these things. God hath ordained by the foolishness of preaching to save them that will believe. And I know of no greater privilege in the world than to share Jesus Christ with men and women. You know, Mary and myself are here, and we're here, I trust, that we might be able to share the gospel with you. But we're here for another reason, you know. We're here to celebrate our 50th wedding anniversary. I mean, fancy her putting up with me for 50 years. But that's what she's done. And you know, when I asked her some time ago what she'd like to do to commemorate our 50th, what better thing could we do than to preach the gospel somewhere? I don't know a better thing to do, to tell men and women of Christ. That's the only thing really that's worth celebrating. That we might preach unto you. Oh, what a message. Would you notice, please? It's glad tidings. For this is that which we read, did we not? We read that this is glad tidings. There's a lovely story I'm sure every preacher tells at some time or another. There's a lovely story of Rabbi Duncan. Rabbi Duncan was the professor of Hebrew in New College, Edinburgh. He was a little man with a large white beard. He looked a bit like Father Christmas, you know. Big square white beard. One day he was walking down Prince's Street in Edinburgh, fell into step with an acquaintance. And as they walked along, the acquaintance kept looking at Rabbi Duncan. And in a moment he said, Rabbi, Have you had good news? For he saw his shining face. Good news, said the great divine. Good news. Of course he said it with a Scotch dialect that I can't imitate. Good news. The best news in the world. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Do you know better news than that? Do you know, if you used here today the old redemption hymn book, I would have given out number 111. Anyone know what 111 in redemption hymn book is? Oh, I say your education's been neglected. But 111 in redemption hymn book says, whene'er we meet, we always say, what's the news? What's the news? Say, what's the order of the day? What's the news? What's the news? Oh, I have got good news to tell. My Savior hath done all things well, and triumphed over death and hell. That's the news. That's the news. It's good news. Friend, it's the best news in the world. That you and I can know the forgiveness of sin. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole was nailed to the cross. And I'll bear it no more. Praise the Lord, it's well with my soul. This man, God's wonderful man, God's wonderful message. But please, it's not only glad tidings. But thank God it's more than that. It's generous tidings. It's for all men. Be it known unto you, we started to read, men and brethren, of the stock of Abraham, and all ye that fear God. And if we'd have gone further down the chapter, we would have read words like these, that there the Gentiles came, and besought that that message should be preached unto them also. Verse 42. Friend, dare I say it? Dare I look around this little company this morning and say, the rich and the ragged, the favored and the forgotten, the humble and the haughty, it makes no difference who you are. God's wonderful message is for all men. All men. There is no one excluded. God loves you. God loves you. Do you know, every time I come, I get asked for a new chorus. And I sort of reach the age now, you know, when I don't sing so many choruses I used to. But there's a little chorus that I've been enjoying of late. Well, not of late, we've been singing it for years, but there it is. And the words say this, if you're black, or if you're white, or if you're fat, or lean, God loves you. If you're short, or if you're tall, or if you're in between, God loves you. He loves you when you're happy. He loves you when you're sad. He loves you when you're feeling good, and he loves you when you're bad. No matter what you look like. Oh, I'm glad that's in there. No matter what you look like. No matter what you've been. And I'm glad that's there. God loves you. Friend, that's the message we're here to preach. The message that God's message, a wonderful message. But I must come to a close. God's wonderful man. God's wonderful message. God's wonderful mercy is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins.
Thy sins and thine iniquities will I remember no more, saith the Scripture. As far as the east is removed from the west, so far have I removed thy transgressions. Oh, I love that, don't you? I love that. I only know this, that there's peace in that salvation. For as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from, no, not from him, from us. From us. Oh, please, if God's salvation didn't remove my transgressions from me, I'd be tormented forever. But I'm glad there's forgiveness, glorious forgiveness. Preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. But more than that, justification as well, for this is that which we read. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin, and by him, all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. To be justified. To be made, oh please, I know enough about Greek to know that it's not a perfect explanation at all, but it's a good one. To be justified means to be just as if you'd never sinned. Justified. I say, isn't that good news? That I can stand before God just as if I'd never sinned. Because he took my sin and my sorrow and made it his very own. I can stand before him justified. But there's a condition. That's why I'm here. There's a condition. Through him is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin. By him we can be justified, but who can be justified? Listen. By him, all that believe, are justified from all things. Ah, it is those who believe, those who've trusted their life to him, those who said, Lord, I'm a sinner before thee, but you loved me and died for me, and I will today ask thee to be my Savior. I will today receive thee into my life. Have you done that? If not, will you do that? Will you receive this Savior who brings this forgiveness? This wonderful mercy? If you are willing this morning to open your heart to Jesus Christ, he is willing to receive you and will give you forgiveness of sin and justify. This man. It's not through me. It's not through this church. It's not through good works. It's not through our efforts. He's the one that forgives. And he alone. If you've never received Jesus Christ, will you do it this morning? Am I speaking to someone of whom it can be said, you did run well, what's hindered you? Listen, the 14th of Hosea is still in the Bible. O Israel, return unto the Lord and bring with you words and say, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. And he says, I will heal thy backsliding. I will love thee freely, for mine anger is turned away. This morning, be it known unto you, therefore, men, brethren, dare I say it, sisters,
that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin. I wonder if in closing we could sing just two verses of a hymn. Two verses of a hymn.